Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Hallelujah. Always causes us to triumph. Are you happy?
Yes.
You comfortable?
Yes.
Go with me, if you would, to Luke 11 and Matthew 6. Luke chapter 11, Matthew 6. We've been on a series these last several weeks. Anybody know what we're calling it? Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And you want to make that personal. Teach me. Lord, teach me to pray. In Luke 11 is where we get that phrase. I'm reading in Luke 11 verse 1, Young's literal translation. It says, it came to pass in his, that's Jesus, being in a certain place praying, as he ceased, a certain one of his disciples said to him, Sir, teach us to pray, as also John taught his disciples. Teach us to pray. And he said to them, now if you read Matthew's account, he said a lot more to them before he actually gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer. But if you want to get the whole thing, you got to read all the accounts. Because Luke will emphasize something that Mark or Matthew didn't, and vice versa. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not just duplicates. There's different emphasis. And the master said, when they asked him about that, the first thing he did was told them how not to pray. He said, don't pray, I'm paraphrasing now, don't pray to be seen. Don't pray in front of other people just for them to see you and hear you. There's no reward for that, no benefit, no results for that. He said, don't just pray vain repetitions like the heathen do. See, across the world, there's a lot of people that pray. And a lot of them are not praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're praying to other gods. And their prayer is absolutely useless. And that's sad, because some of them pray a lot over a lifetime for nothing. Because the God they're praying to doesn't even exist. And has never answered a prayer and never will. That's sad.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
And the Lord told us, do not pray like they do. Don't pray like the heathen do. Don't pray vain repetitions. That's just repeating the same phrases over and over and over again. He said they think they'll be heard because of their much speaking. So effective prayer is not just large volumes of prayer. Sometimes the more you talk, the less it means. You're just wandering all over the place. No focus, no faith. Now, why are we talking about this? Because we're saying, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so then he gets to what we call the Lord's Prayer. And that's an accurate phrase. He didn't call it that per se. But this is not a formula that he gave us to repeat mindlessly. He already warned us about vain repetitions. But this is how he himself prayed. Is everybody awake? That what are they asking him? Teach us to pray. Teach us how somebody else prays? No. They've been around him. They've been watching him. Sometimes hearing him pray. And they want to learn. And they have seen he gets answers. They have seen what happens. And so they're saying, Lord, teach us how to pray like you do. And so he gives us when he says, pray after this manner. And he gives us emphasis, main emphasis of prayer. You can pray this whole prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, in less than 1 minute. Well, he's obviously doing more than that, because sometimes he'd pray all night long. And he's not just praying vain repetitions of this. So what's he praying about and why? So he said, when you pray, say, "Our Father who art in the heavens." And like we got into last week, you will see an emphasis on heaven and earth in prayer. We need to be mindful and aware of the interactions of heaven with earth. Our Father is where?
Heaven.
He's in heaven. He hasn't made this earth his home. The earth is his footstool. And the scripture talks about in Philippians, we saw that there are beings in the heavens, beings on the earth, and beings under the earth. And so that's a fact. Not breathing people, but beings. And so in praying, he starts off with, put your focus on the Father in heaven. You know who you're talking to, and you know where he is and where your help is coming from. Y'all with me? And it's good and right, because a lot of the things you need, you can't even find down here. But he's got it. I said, he's got it, and he can get it to you. When you pray, you say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your reign come." King James says kingdom. Your kingdom come. And that's what a kingdom is. Kingdom is two words, king and dom, representing dominion. The king's dominion, or the reign that the king reigns over. Now, this gives you insight immediately. One of the biggest lies and worst false doctrines that exist, and is hurting the church probably as much or more than any other thing, is the lie, and it's taught from pulpits of churches all over the world, the lie that God is controlling everything down here. See, even in this church, I didn't get a unanimous response. You say, "Well, God is in control." What do you mean by that? If you mean everything that's happening on the earth is somehow God's mysterious will, you are absolutely wrong. And you'll be confused and deceived and robbed your whole life if you believe that. If God's will is being done everywhere all the time, why would we need to pray that his will would be done? Huh? And other scriptures talk about the applying yourself and getting your mind renewed so that you can find out and distinguish what the will of God is, and don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. If everything that's happening is the will of God, I don't need any discernment. I just wake up and see what happens. And that's the will of God. Now you're laughing, but millions of people believe that. And a lot of false religions believe the same thing. That everything that happens is the predetermined, unchangeable will of God. You may not understand it, but God's in control. That is a lie. Y'all with me or not?
Yes.
What is that belief based on? What? And you'll find it to be based on the traditional religious ideas of men. Men made it up because they didn't understand what was going on. Trying to answer things they did not understand. Do we need to pray in faith that God's will would be done down here. Why? Because it ain't being done. Right, y'all with me or not? Will it make any difference whether I pray that God's will would be done down here? If it doesn't make any difference, why would the Lord tell me to pray? Is it possible that you and I can pray prayers that God can hear and answer? Prayers of faith, and that help will come.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And interactions of God from heaven will manifest in the earth. And some things that God wants to happen will happen that would not have happened if we hadn't prayed and hadn't asked. That is truth. That is Bible. And we're going to see it more and more. Now, hold on, I'm going to give you plenty of scriptures. You believe me or not? This is not just my thinking or somebody else's thinking. I know, you know, I may be seem a little strong about this, but that lie is robbing millions of people. And it's just letting the enemy wreak havoc in the church. He is just stealing, killing, destroying north, south, east, and west, and people will turn around and blame what the devil did on God. Won't even resist him. Won't even try to put a stop to it because they're confused about what's God and what's not. Sad. But you and I don't have to be this way. We don't have to live this way. We can know what to receive and we can know what to resist. Didn't the Bible say resist the devil and he will flee from you? Well, you need to know what is the devil. You need to know what it is, what to resist. Hallelujah. You okay? The scripture said, put it up on the screen again, Psalm 115 and 15. Psalm 115, 15. He said, you are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Everybody say heaven and earth. Is earth heaven? No. Heaven is a place. Hell is a place. Not an idea. A place. There are, no telling how many human spirits are in hell right now as we speak. And there are a lot more going there. People die by the, you know, scores of thousands all over the face of the planet every day. And they are not all going to heaven. And it's not that God is sending them there. They rejected him. And if you don't want him, you don't want heaven. And if you don't want him, there's only one other group. And only one other place to go. Which is why we need to get this good news to everybody. Is that right? That we can, so that people don't go there. But heaven and earth. Keep reading. The heaven, even the heavens. The scripture reveals that there are at least three heavens. Paul said, writing to the church, he said he was caught up to the third heaven. And he saw and heard things of God there. Well, if there's a third heaven, there's a second and a first. And the atmosphere, what we call our sky, is referred to as a heaven, the first heaven. And then out beyond that, what we call space, second heaven, where the planets are and the stars. And there's another place above that. Hallelujah. And that's the heaven of heavens. And that's where God dwells. Hallelujah. His place. Not theory. A place. And it says the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth has he given to the children of men. This is where many have faltered. They've not believed this. They've not understood this. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and nights, Do you remember that one of the temptations, the enemy showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time? And the devil said this. He said, all of this is given to me. Do you remember him saying that? The devil said that. All of this, all the kingdoms of the earth that are ruling over the earth, he said, that's all given to me, the devil said. And he said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give it to you because it's given to me and I give it to whoever I want to. Now you'll hear people say, well, that ain't true. That ain't true. If it wasn't true, there would have been no temptation. And Jesus would have told him it wasn't true. It is true. 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls the devil the god of this world. How did he become the god of this world? God didn't give it to him. God gave the earth to men, human beings. And men gave it to him, the devil. Well, now this shows how much God has given control of it to men, because if he was ever going to step in and say, no, you can't do that, that he would have stepped in then, right? He could have said, no, you can't let my enemy control this. He would have stepped in. He would have said, no, this is mine. I made it, and I'm not allowing this to happen. He did not do that. He allowed human beings to do completely the opposite of what he wanted done with the earth. And since that time, it continues that way. That's why we need to pray that God's will would be done in the earth. Because by and large, it is not being done. By and large, the enemy is controlling it. Well, that's why you see so much death, so much curse, stealing, killing, destroying. Is it all over the place? Yes. Is that God?
No.
Jesus told us that's the devil. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. The lying, the deceiving, the confusion, the violence, the death. That's not God.
No, sir.
I said, that's not God.
No.
Well, why won't God just step in and fix it? He has the power, doesn't he? Yes. Well, he wants it different, then why don't he do it? He gave it to us. This will help answer so many questions. He gave it to us. And we have not been doing a good job with it. We've been letting the devil run it. Y'all are quiet. What can we do, though? God won't push everybody aside and take over and interfere when nobody asked him to. This is what many have not understood and won't even believe. If you read the scriptures to them, they won't believe it. I had a preacher, you know, right here in this auditorium. Well, not this one, but the one across the way back 20-something years ago. He got so mad at me. He came. He was putting his finger in my face. He said, I want you to know, by God, when God gets ready for you to do it, you will do it. I said, not if I don't want to. That made him even madder. But listen to the spirit of that. Listen to that. That pushiness, that arrogance, that's a wrong spirit. Can you see that? And why is he so animated about this? A wrong spirit is pushing him. And he don't even realize it. And he's a preacher. No. No. Here's the truth many won't even believe. Unless you invite the Lord in, he won't come. Unless you ask him to be involved, he won't be. He will let you do it completely on your own with zero input or help from him. You can ignore him, not even ask him, and he'll let you do it. He'll let you mess it up. He'll let you ruin it. And let you wallow in your failure. Unless you had the smarts. Will somebody help me? To ask him. Oh, somebody say ask. Ask. To ask him for help. To ask him to be involved. Go with me. I believe this next part will help you. Go with me in the gospel accounts here to Luke, the 24th chapter. Everything in the Word is revealing of truth and God's ways. Whether you understand it or not, it's right and it's true. And some years back, I asked the Lord about a couple of things I'm about to read to you from the scriptures. I thought, Lord, what's going on there? And he helped me to see exactly what we're talking about right now, that unless you ask him, he won't get involved. Unless you invite him. Didn't the scripture say in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and what?
Knock.
Huh?
Knock.
Did he say, I'm coming in whether you want me to or not?
No.
Did he say, you will receive me?
No.
No. I stand at the door and knock. What's the rest of the verse? If. Everybody say if.
Yes.
If any man will open. What if you won't open the door? He won't come in. He won't come in. And you got people all over the place blaming God for every problem in their life when the truth is God's nowhere around their life.
Yeah.
He's not in it. He's not around it. He's not involved in it. And that's the problem. They never asked him to. Why should we pray? We should pray to work with heaven in the earth. Hallelujah. To accomplish God's will in our own personal lives and in everything that we have anything to do with. In Luke 24, this is after Jesus had been raised from the dead. Luke 24, 28, there were some individuals walking along the way, and as they drew nigh to the village whither they went, Jesus had come along with them, but they didn't recognize who he was. You got to remember, the general public thought he's dead. They knew about the crucifixion. They knew about the burial and all that. And they knew about the rumors that were going around about the stone was rolled away and he's gone. But, you know, how people are, all kind of talk, pro and con. But Jesus had just come along walking and walked up with them and was talking to them about the prophecies and the scriptures. And about what had happened. But they didn't realize, you know, that it was him until he revealed himself. And as they drew nigh to the village, whither they went, he made as though he would have gone further. Did you hear that phrase?
Yeah.
The Phillips translation says he gave the impression that he meant to go further. The BBE, I like this one, it says he seemed as if he was going on. He's going to keep going. Until, verse 29, they constrained him and they said, stay with us, for it's toward evening and the day is far spent. And so he went in and stayed with them. But he would not have done that if they hadn't asked him to. Well, the King James says, he made as though. And to us that sounds like he made out like he was, which sounds a little bit dishonest. You know that ain't right. He, from their impressions, he was not stopping. He was going on. Until. Oh, come on, can you see that? It said he appeared to be going further. And the Living Bible says it like this. They were nearing Emmaus. Jesus would have gone on. But, everybody say but. They begged him to stay the night with him, and so he went home with them. Here's the question. Would he have gone on if they hadn't asked him? This is not the only time we see this. You see, you got people, theologians, that don't believe this at all. They're like, oh, no, this was predetermined a long time ago, and the Lord, this would have happened. The Lord is not overriding people. He is not inserting himself into their lives and interfering with their lives against their will. He is not doing that. He won't do that. Even if it cost him everything, he won't do that. Because if he was ever going to do that, he would interfere with you going to hell. Right? And if he's not going to do it for that, he's certainly not going to do it for anything less. But is he this way? Is he this way? Think about this. Blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. If he hadn't cried out and asked, would he have gotten healed that day?
No.
Would he have gotten healed anyway? The woman with the issue of blood, if she had not pressed through the crowd and touched his garment, would she have been healed that day anyway? No, she wouldn't. No, she wouldn't. These things involve us much, much more than religious tradition will say. People try to make everything God. And it's not how it works. Go with me to Mark 6. Earlier in his dealings with them, they had already seen this kind of thing. Mark 6 and 45. Mark 6, 45 says, straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. So this wasn't their idea. It was him telling them to get in the boat and go. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to do what?
Pray.
He did a lot of this. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. He was alone on the land, and he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he comes to them walking upon the sea, and what? And what? Would have passed them by. Would have just walked right by them. Somebody says, no. Yeah. Read the word. Huh? No. You're in a serious, treacherous, dangerous situation, and the Lord just lets you sink? If you won't ask him about it. If you don't want to involve him. How much of the church even believes this? But it's here. And it's in so many places. Why? Because the earth he gave to us. And men gave it to the enemy. And so for God to just push everybody aside and say, no, I'm going to make it the way I want it, he's overriding everybody's will. He's not going to do that. Doesn't have to do it. Doesn't want to do it. Now, why would the Lord be that way? Because that's the only way it works. Phyllis and I were trying to help some folks in a marriage some years ago. And a well-known minister that knew about the situation too was talking to us. And he said, now look, Keith and Phyllis, he said, you can't want this for them more than they want it. And man, when they said that, it impacted us. I remember it to this day. And we're thinking, gee, that's right. We want this more than they do. That's not going to work. And it didn't. But see, us not having the wisdom of God, we have wasted all kind of time trying to talk people into things. Y'all are quiet. Huh? We've wasted all kind of time trying to help people, and the problem is they never asked. They never asked. They never invited us in. So we really didn't have a right to say or do. Why, if they had wanted it enough, they would have asked. Right? And to not even care and bother, they don't want it. They don't value it. They don't esteem it. And so that's the Lord knows. He knows He's wisdom. And He knows the end from the beginning. And He knows unless you show Him enough respect and you care enough to ask Him, it's no point in trying to push something off on you. It's not going to work in the end unless you want it, unless you invite Him in. Are you thankful where you sit today? That the Lord helped you to have enough understanding to ask Him into your life to be your Lord and Savior? Because there are billions of people on this planet, their life is totally devoid of any kind of thing pertaining to God because they won't ask. They won't ask. They won't even open the door at all. How many of your heart is... Lord, come on in. Come on in, please. Come fully in to every room and every corner. I'm asking, Lord, come in. Come into my life. Come into my heart, my soul, my mind, my brain. Come into my money affairs. Come into my family and my home and my kids and my business. Come in, come in, come in. Please, come in. Come in. And if you do, He has a right to do things in your life that don't happen for most of the people on the planet. He has a right to. You invited Him. He's not trespassing. He's not interfering. You asked Him. You invited Him. And He saw your heart and knew you weren't just mouthing some religious something. He knew you meant it. He saw your heart. He knows. So He comes in and He helps. And with His help, we can make it through anything. So the Bible said he comes walking on the sea and would didn't now this is clear. Would have passed by them. Do we believe the Bible or not? If they'd have just screamed and been afraid, He would have walked right by them and let them scream and holler. Unless somebody asked Him. Now we know for one thing, Peter. Peter made some mistakes, but he also got some things right. Is that right? What Peter said, Lord, if that's You, bid me to come. He said, come on. So now somebody's asking. Come on, can you see that? Somebody is saying, we want You involved in our situation. And the next thing you know, He's in the boat with them. One thing led to another. Otherwise, He would have passed by them. Are we reading Scripture? Look with me. I'm just going to go one by one. And hope you can come back for another time because, we'll go to Matthew 7, and then we're going to go to James 4. Matthew 7 and 7. How many believe the Lord's answering our prayer about teaching us how to pray? And we're not just learning what prayer is, but why we should pray and how to pray. And man, the more we grow in this, we won't be doing things in vain. We'll pray and things will happen. Hallelujah. And we'll pray and things will happen. And that'll just be the way we live. And God will be involved in more and more of our stuff. And to more and more and to greater and greater degree. Now notice Matthew 6, just a few verses earlier, is where he gave us what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then just a few verses later, he says this. Ask. Somebody say ask.
Ask.
Now I've heard numerous Christians say things along the line of, well, you know, the Lord knows what I need. And so I'm just going to leave it up to him because he knows best. So you're just going to ignore what he said. Did he say, don't be concerned about it? I've got it. Huh? See, that's religious tradition, usurping and replacing the Word of God. False humility. You can't leave up to God what he left up to you. And if he said ask, there are many reasons why he said to ask. Whether you understand them or not, what should you do? You should trust him. And you should ask. Ask, and what would happen? It'll be given to you. Will it be given to you if you don't ask? Whether you ask or not. Why would you think it would? Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Keep reading. For everyone that asks receives. Do we want to receive? And he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Oh, hallelujah. This is huge where prayer is concerned. What do I do in prayer? Here's three of the big things that we do in prayer. We ask, we seek, and we knock. And if you do this correctly, things will be given to you. Things will be revealed to you and you'll find them. And things will be opened up to you so that you have access and are able to get into them. What if you don't knock? Then you can do everything you know to do and it'll be closed to you. What if you don't seek? You won't find it. You can live your whole life and never find it. What if you don't ask? It won't be given to you. Why would this be so? Why do we need to do this? Doesn't God already know? Yeah, he does. Well, don't he care about us? Yes. Well, why don't he just do it? Why don't you do what he told you? How about that? What would be wrong with that? Somebody say, ask.
Ask.
I'm going to ask.
Ask.
What else?
Seek.
Seek. What are you going to do?
Seek.
I'm going to seek. What else?
Knock.
Knock. I'm going to knock. And we're going to do this in prayer. Now notice with me in James, the 4th chapter. James 4:1. He said, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Don't they come even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. Lust means you long for it. You long for it. You desire it, but you don't have it. Even kill and desire to have and can't get it. Even fight and war and you don't have it. Because you did everything except what? You didn't ask. You fought, you wrangled, you pressured, even killed. Still didn't get it. Why? You have not. Tell me why. Why? Because God don't want you to have it and he knows better. No, no. Because you didn't ask. He goes on to say, you ask and didn't get it because you asked amiss. Now that word means wrong. Can you ask wrong?
Yes.
You can. So not only do you need to ask, you got to ask correctly. You got to ask according to His Word. You got to ask according to faith. Now let me read some other translations of this. The Young's literal translation says, "You have not because of your not asking." Is that clear? Is that? Huh? Are there some stuff in your life that you don't have that you'd like to have? Did you ask? When did you ask? Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Hold your place there. And in, what is it, Matthew? Put up Matthew 18:19. You'll see people missing it where this is concerned. He said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it'll be done for them. Huh? If any of you, any two of you will agree on earth as touching anything, it'll be done for them. Right? No. Not right. Y'all with me or not? Am I being technical? No. If what we've said, what we've been talking about is true and right, if you didn't ask God, if you didn't invite Him in, there are spiritual laws that govern these things. Whether we understand them or not, that's why He said ask. And if you don't ask, you didn't do what He said. I've seen people do it. I don't know how many times. You know, agree with me about such and such. And they said, okay, I agree. Did they do what the Lord said? No, they didn't do it. They did not. No, and no surprise why a lot of things hadn't been working. Folks just ignoring, sometimes just out of ignorance, didn't mean to, but ignoring what the Lord said. Here's a big question. Anytime something comes up in your life, something you need, a good thing you want, one of the first questions you should ask yourself, did I ask? Did I ask? When did I ask? Did I ask? Phyllis and I operate that way. We're two, and we should be in agreement on a lot of things. Right? And we are. And so a lot of times, something will come up, and I'll look at her, and I'll say, did we ask? Did we ask for that? And sometimes we'll say, yeah, we did. Right, yeah. Maybe it was a month ago or whatever. But a lot of times we'll go, I don't remember asking. So what do we need to do? We need to ask. And in helping our church family, I don't know at times. I don't know. You hear what I'm about to say? Hundreds of times, thousands of times over the years, something's coming up. Maybe somebody's been with us in church for years and years and years. Maybe there's something with their body or something. Maybe they're about a procedure they're looking to do or any kind of thing. And Phyllis is big on this, and me too. And she'll say, well, did you ask about that? And he'll say, well, no. Why should we expect it to happen anyway? And we didn't do what the Lord told us to do. Y'all are too quiet. Huh? Look at your neighbor, help them out, say, did you ask? Did you ask? When did you ask? Where did you ask? Did you ask? So many things come back to that. When did you ask? How did you ask? Did you? And so a lot of times, you know, we'll talk about something. When did we ask about that? And we realize, no, we didn't ask. So we'll grab hands. And if any two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything, that they shall ask, it'll be done for them. Of my Father. Now notice the rest of the verse. Which is where? In heaven. If you want heaven involved in earth, you must ask. You must ask. It's not optional. See, when people say, well, I'm just leaving up to the Lord. No, you're being lazy and disrespectful. Huh? And even rebellious. You don't tell the Lord when he says, ask. And you go, well, I'd rather not. I just want you to take care of it. Well, do without then. Everybody said out loud,
asking
is not optional. That's my part. Seeking is my part. Knocking is my part. Amen. That's my part. He told us to do that. And if he told us to do it, there must be good reasons why. And we're not to try to think we're smarter than him and try to do it some other way than what he told us. Just simply ask. 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 We talked about James 4. He said, Young's literal says, you have not because of you're not asking. Listen to the complete Jewish along that line. Complete Jewish Bible verse 2 says, you desire things and don't have them. You kill. You're jealous and you still can't get them. So you fight and you quarrel. The reason you don't have is because you don't pray. The same word translated ask is translated pray sometimes in the same New Testament. The reason you don't have it is you don't pray. Would that be true with a lot of situations? Not, and people will go, well, I don't know why the Lord won't do it for me. Did you ask when and where? I don't know why. No, did you ask? You have not because of you're not asking. Goodspeed says, you do not have things because you do not ask for them. You ask and fail to get them because you ask with wrong motives. Now, let me read to you. I know you may think I'm being redundant on this, but I don't want you to forget this. Or me either. I want something to be reverberating on the inside of you all next week. And you know what? One word. And it can be code talk around here. You can go, did you ask? I'm not talking about asking me. I'm not talking about asking you. I'm talking about asking God. Asking him. Did we ask? 2 Chronicles 7:14. So don't try to turn to all these. They'll put them on the screen. I'm just going to go one after the other. Half a dozen here. It kind of moving along. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If anybody remembers that one. Verse 14, it starts out with a big word. Huh? Did I say 7:14? 2 Chronicles 7:14. It starts off with what? If's conditional. If you do what he's about to say, you'll get these results. If you don't expect to get those results. If my people, are we his people?
Yes.
Who are called by his name? My name. If they will humble themselves and pray. Does that involve asking? What's the next word?
And seek.
It's always been this way. If they'll pray, ask, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. When he tells you to make a change, you got to make that change. Then, let's go back to the first word. Is what? If? If, then. What's the opposite of that? If not. Then not. Right? If you do that, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Can you count on it?
Yes.
If it's not happening, what else didn't happen? His people didn't ask. They didn't pray. They didn't seek. They didn't repent. Because you can count on him doing his part. He's faithful. Hallelujah. Whew. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. We talked about this, you know, a couple of weeks ago. One of the big reasons we pray is because of all the stuff we don't know. Right? That we need to find out and know. Well, will he show us all these things if we don't call? If we don't ask, will we get it and find it anyway? No. No, you won't. Now, in the New Testament, I want you to notice how many times this comes up. Matthew 18:19, we already talked about that. If any two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. Look at Matthew 21:22. They'll put it up for us. Matthew 21:22. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Everybody say ask. All things whatever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. John 14:13. And I'm moving kind of quick on this. John 14:13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Everybody say ask. Ask. John 15:7. John 15:7. He said, if, there's that word again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall what?
Ask.
All, getting all that word in you is enabling you to get to the point where you can do what?
Ask.
See, not just ask. Why would you? See, a lot of people won't ask because they're not convinced it's even the will of God.
Yeah, that's right.
But you get enough word in you and you go, well, that's God's will.
Yeah.
Right? I should have that. He wants us to have that. What's next? Ask. Ask. You shall ask what you will. It'll be done to you. Verse 16. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. How are we going to get this fruit? Very next phrase. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. No asking, no fruit. John 16:23. John 16:23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. You may say, huh? What? No, this is huge. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. What is this talking about? This is why we don't pray to Mary. Or to the saints. Or to any saints. Jesus is telling us, you're not going to have to pray to me and I'll say, I'll ask the Father for you. He's saying, what I'm going to do for you will give you direct access. You. To the Father. Just come in my name. Hallelujah. And he will hear. Not some of this relay. See, there's a whole lot of people. We've even had people come to us and say, you know, pray for me for this. And sometimes they're like, well, what about you? Did you pray about it? Well, no, I think God will hear your prayer. Well, that's wrong thinking.
Yeah, that's good.
I said, that's wrong thinking. If you don't have to go to Jesus to get him to pass the message to the Father, you certainly don't need to come to me. Y'all with me or not? Are any saint or any other person living or in heaven? No, no, no. We can get to go directly. Woo! Come boldly to the throne of grace. Who's sitting on the throne of grace? It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And you can call him Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Can you see the prayer?
Yes.
My Father, who you going to?
Yeah.
Not through intermediaries.
That's right.
You're going straight to my Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Now, I'm not saying I've got a right to do that because of who I am or what I've done. I'm using the name.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The name of Jesus, the name of my Master. But he's saying, you know, when this is done, you're going to have a straight shot. Not through anybody else. Whoo, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Isn't this what he said? Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. What's the problem? Not asking. You don't have because you didn't. Not seeking, so you don't find out. How many people, even good church-going people that are saved, they get up in the morning, running, late, whatever, never ask the Lord about anything, blaze onto the highway to work, to school, go through the whole day, the whole night, and maybe a moment say, Lord, you know, help us with this. But no time really with him, thinking, looking, and he brings things up and you ask, and seeking and finding out and knocking. See, these carnal ways of living are costing. I said, it's costing. And we want to change that. Can we change that? And all we got to do is start spending some time. Is that right? Praying with him. Coming, waiting on him some. Looking and listening. And he'll show you things and you'll know, I need to ask for that. Right? I need to seek that. Right? I need to knock about that. Oh, come on, can you see? He said, verse 24, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. And you know, notice how many times he says this. Ask. Do we see a recurring theme here? Ask. Somebody say, ask. Ask. And you'll receive. That your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Verse 26, he went on to say, at that day, you shall ask in my name, and I say not to you, I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you. And because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Amen. He said, you won't have to ask me to ask the Father for you. You can come straight to him. But he keeps saying, ask, 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 ask. James 1. James 1 and 5. Are you with me on this central theme today? Did you ask? James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom. Let's just stop right here. What's wisdom? Oh. You know, the writer of the Proverbs just gushes about wisdom. He said, I'm going to paraphrase. He says, look, whatever you do, get you some wisdom. It's like what the American Express, don't leave home without that commercial. You need you some understanding and some wisdom. Huh? Are there things you deal with in life that at first glance, you don't know what to do about it? Huh? Huh? So tell me what you need. Tell me what you need. You need, is God puzzled about it? Is he baffled about it? Certainly not. Certainly not. So he already knows. He already knows what you should do, the solution, the answer. You don't have to worry about it, struggle about it, stress over it. But what you do have to do, if you want his help, if you want him showing you what to do, tell me what you got to do. What do you got to do? If you lack wisdom, it's just like every other hour that you think about. It's actually every hour. But talking about when you're aware of it. If you lack wisdom, come on, help me out. Help me out. Let him ask of God. And God's ready to give it to you. It gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He won't even make fun of you because you're dumb. He won't say, God, I need some wisdom and help on this. He won't go, are you joking? You don't know that. That's Ned and the first reader stuff. What's what? No. He won't upbraid you. He won't make fun of you. It'll be given him. It'll be given him. Does this sound like what Jesus said? Ask and it'll be given you. And then in verse 6, though, see, we talked about ask and don't receive because you didn't ask right. But let him ask in faith. And that's where the word comes in. Where do I get faith? From hearing the word. That's why if I abide in him and his words abide in me, I'll ask whatever I will. It'll be done to me. Why? Because I got the faith to ask. And to ask in faith. I got it from his word. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he will receive anything of the Lord. So you got to ask. But you got to ask with a fully persuaded heart. That you know it's his will. And if you know it's his will, you know he heard you. And that's our next verse. Go to 1 John, the 5th chapter. And I'm closing. 1 John 5 and 14. This is the what?
Confidence.
So we're supposed to ask, but you've got to ask with confidence. Faith. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. How would we know it's according to his will? His word reveals his will. And his Holy Spirit reveals things to us in line with his word, his will. Verse 15, and if we know, do you hear the confident? No. That's a sign you're in faith. You're not wondering. You're not wavering. You're not vacillating. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask. See, did he have to throw that phrase in there? If we know that he heard us. He just got through saying we asked, but now he says it again. If we know he heard us, what we asked,
yes.
Then we know that we have the petitions, which is asking, that we desired of him. Now that's just a handful. But is that enough for you to say, I better ask? Would you agree? Would you agree? And so whether it's this afternoon or tonight, or the next day or the next, anything that comes up that you need, any good thing that you want, what's one of the first things that should pop into your bright little mind? Did I ask? And if not, what should you do? Don't be bashful. Right? Well, I don't know if that's God's will or not. Well, you're not ready to ask. Huh? I said, you're not ready to ask. You better put your nose in the book. Right? And that's another reason to pray.
Yeah.
Right? To pray and seek to find out. And that's part of communing with him, that he'll bring up his word to you. He'll show you and you can get convinced. Well, yeah, that's right. That's the will of God. Now you got that confidence.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're asking in faith. Yeah. Amen. Stand on your feet, everybody. Hallelujah. Well, you guys are a pleasure to preach to. Not hard. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead. Glory to God. Just close your eyes and focus on the Lord. Altar workers, you can go ahead and come down. But everybody else, just close your eyes. To focus your mind, your attention. And let me lead you in a prayer. We don't know who's in the house. If there's a person under the sound of our voice that has never asked the Lord to come into their life, let's do it right now. So everybody said out loud, Father God, I believe in you.